Stay standing with me. Take your Bibles. Go to the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. We'll read the first four verses responsively. I begin reading in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 1. You'll join me on verse number 2. We'll read all the way through verse number 4. Just like that. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 1, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." And let's pray. Father, Lord, I do love you and I thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, thank you for a place that we can come. Lord, I enjoy the good singing. Lord, I enjoyed Sunday school this morning. Lord, thankful for friends and family here. Lord, to be with those that are like-minded. Lord, as we hear the Word of God preached this morning, we'll yield ourselves to you. Lord, we're excited about all that's going on. There's a lot of fear and a lot of difficulty in life. But Lord, it still is a good day to be a Christian. Lord, it's exciting to know, Lord, that we serve a God who is and, Lord, who controls what transpires in our life. And we're thankful to have that comfort and knowledge in our life. As the man of God preaches this morning, we'll yield ourselves to you. Fill him with your power, please, as he preaches. We'll ask that you do what we cannot do. Encourage, strengthen, and comfort. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen, and you may be seated.
Man, I want to help you today. Keep your Bibles open to 2 Thessalonians 2. I'm going to preach a sermon today that will be quite different. It's not Christmassy, but it's very appropriate for our day, and I believe it's what we need. So I want you to listen carefully. I may make you mad. If so, I succeeded. I may get you excited, and that's good too, but I feel like, and I know that this is exactly what the Lord wants for us today. And I want you to hear what we have to say. Here in 2 Thessalonians 2, let me give you a little background of what's going on. The church at Thessalonica is confused. There are people that have come and said that, well, the Lord already came back at the rapture. And yet all these Christians were still there. And we read in verse number 3 and 4, talked about, "Let no man deceive you by any means." He said, look, the Lord hadn't come back. He's not established his kingdom yet, because there has to be a rapture take place, so you're not there. And he said, it doesn't matter who sets themselves up as God or speaks in God's place, whether they tell you that or not, that's not what my word says. Can I tell you something? There are people in our world today that believe the rapture already took place, or we're to usher in the kingdom itself without a rapture. They're filthy liars and they don't know what the Bible says. You say, well, preacher, you got a bad attitude. Yeah, I have a bad attitude against bad doctrine. Now, let me show you how all this came about and where we're going with the truth. We live in a day of instant information. From cell phones to news apps to texting and email to TV, radio, social media, etc., etc., etc. We also do not have any control of what is fact, because reporting takes place as it happens. Now listen to this statement. When we report things as they happen and we present it as fact, that means conjecture or opinion becomes fact. You can't know what's happening until you've got all the stuff put together. You talk to any police officer that's shown up to an accident, and they pull all the witnesses together, you wonder if everybody saw the same accident. Because people see it from different views. Everybody understand? Guess what? Our news media does the same thing. Now, listen to these next statements. Our world is almost intoxicated with information. This information allows us to feel empowered. And like we have the ability to have power over others. I know something you don't know. And I know what the truth is. Isn't it amazing? No justice, no peace. And they were claiming that before the trial. How can you say no justice, no peace when you don't know what all the facts are? Now, listen to me very carefully. Not many people seem to care to wait for the truth. We just allow what we see or what we think or what we hear some expert say to decide for us what truth is. By the way, may I say something right here? Dr. Fauci is not science. He is a self-proclaimed little imp of hell and puts himself in the place of God. Say, preacher, you're getting a little bold. Hey, it's about time somebody starts calling it what it is. Fact is fact. And I know enough about science to know Dr. Fauci is not a scientist. He is a socialist communist who's trying to portray an agenda who helped pay for COVID. He lied to Congress over and over and over again and spent your money and our money, our tax dollars, to let the Chinese bring COVID to the world. Let's put the PETA people out there and get them all upset because of the experiments they did on dogs. By the way, he funded it. He knew what was going on. Everybody doing okay? In other words, well, Dr. Fauci said it, so believe the opposite, and that's probably the truth. Kind of like a politician. Every time they move their mouth, they're lying. They'll believe the opposite, you should be pretty close. Now, I want you to notice something that God says here. Look at verse number 2 in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That ye be not soon shaken in mind. Now look at us. God tells us not to be soon shaken in mind. Our whole world is shaking right now. They're shaking at a virus or a new strain of virus. By the way, one that's non-lethal. Our world gets upset at every news report because something else bad is happening or about to happen. Oh, climate change. We had tornadoes in Kentucky this week. Did you know that every year for the last 27 years there have been tornadoes in Tennessee, Kentucky, and Arkansas in the month of December? This is nothing unusual. By the way, I am sorry that it takes place. I'm sorry for every person hurt, every family affected by it, and every person killed. But why is it different in December than it is in July? Anybody doing all right? Our world gets upset at almost every news report because of the negative bad. The coverage of the newscast is the next newscast will be the next shooting, the next murder, the next kidnapping, the next tragedy, one thing after another. It's amazing how little good is portrayed in the news. I was looking through one of my mom's Bibles a few months ago, and she had newspapers from back in the day after Noah got off the ark, I think. I mean, they're all yellow back in the 50s and things. And isn't it amazing what the newspapers back in the old days used to be? This couple's getting married. You used to put wedding announcements in and engagements in, and births were put in, and there was good news portrayed and very little bad. Now you can't find good news in the news. The only thing that you can guarantee that the news gets right is the date. And you know they're not going to get the weather right. Now wait a minute. Bad news financially, bad news politically, bad news climatologically. Then everybody's a racist and a genderphobic. People have lost what little minds they had because of the amount of information people are given every day. I'm going to make the statement again. People have become almost intoxicated with information. Our world has informed itself into insanity and panic. Remember when you had to wait for the 6 o'clock news? Or you had to wait for the morning newspaper to find out what happened the day before? How many times a day do you pull your phone out and look at the news app? Everybody doing okay? Remember when you had to wait to go see somebody's house that they bought and see how they decorated it? Now, you just pull your phone out and you FaceTime and they walk around and show you everything. Remember when you had to go to a house and actually look at it to decide whether you wanted to buy it? Now you have virtual tours online. Everybody doing okay? I'm putting it right down where we live, aren't we? Our world has informed itself into insanity, into panic. We do not allow truth to be found before splashing it all out to the world. Listen to this statement. This world thinks that information is truth. We feel like if we... Oh, I'm not saying that all information is bad. But getting the information out and letting you decide the truth, as many news medias will tell you, is not wise. First of all, most people color the truth based on their desired or perceived outcome. Then we don't wait on or report on all of the facts at once. So once all the facts finally come in, we've already decided before the facts came in what the truth was. Recently in the news, I think this idiot from Chicago, what's his name, Smollett or whatever, some actor. And I don't even know what the case is. But I had people months ago ask me about it, said, don't know, wait till the trial's over, I'll tell you if he's guilty or innocent. Apparently, he was guilty. Now, wait a minute. There are many people in this room, you probably figured he was. I didn't think about it. Say why? I didn't have enough information. By the way, neither did you, because the news media was putting it out there. We have to wait till a jury gets through it to decide whether he was innocent or guilty. I'll promise you, I didn't waste 10 seconds the entire time on this Smollett guy. By the way, I couldn't tell you if he was red, white, pink, blue, purple, or chartreuse. I have no idea what the guy is. Now, wait a minute. It comes in all forms. Our world gets soon shaken. By the way, let me say it this way. We don't wait on the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth before we form an opinion. Isn't it amazing how even the president and vice president of the United States can tell what the outcome of a trial is before he's ever tried? We've had two out of the last three presidents do that, and they've been wrong both times. It's none of their business to chide in on a local case. You see, we don't wait on the reporting of all the facts. We just think information is fact. Be careful. Fellas, look this way. I need you to sit up and pay attention. You're bothering everybody else. Our world is soon shaken because of the information overload of our day. It comes in all forms, and people don't know what to believe, so they believe it all. Look how fast everyone gets out of sorts or shaken up with the next news report. Omicron is on its way. You don't even know what Omicron means. 95% of you don't even know that it's a Greek letter. Now, wait a minute. Good guess. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Did you know coronaviruses have been around forever? If you actually look at what the disease is, it's SARS coronavirus. The SARS is more important than the coronavirus part. And yet, nobody's reporting on that. Now, you say, preacher, I know people that have gotten sick and died from it. I agree, but I know people gotten sick and died from the flu, asthma, heart issues, everything else. I'm not saying it's not real. What I'm saying is we're believing way too much of what the news media and the politicians want us to hear. And we're on so much overload of information that nobody knows what the truth is. Now, God gives us four areas here in 2 Thessalonians that he tells us not to be soon shaken, which means we're to control what we do with those four areas of information. Everybody look at me. I'm not living in panic. Amen. We're not going to take everybody's temperature. We're not going to have scanners or take it any other way, by the way. You can use your own imagination. We're not going to make people, if you'd like to wear a mask, you can. That's fine. I'm not wearing one. You say, why? Because it's medically, it ain't doing nothing. Just so you know. But if you feel better with it, I get it. And that's your option. We have folks here that wore them long before there ever was COVID because of some health issues that they have. I understand that. I have no problem with that. But I told you 2 years ago, we're not shutting church down. We're going to have church. It may be if we have a little outbreak of something, we'll have church out in the parking lot or out in the yard or in your car, but we're going to have church. I'm not shutting down. You say, why? Because they can't shut me down over a virus. It's unconstitutional. You might have to come to the jail and have Brother Juan let you in to let me preach, but I'm going. Now, wait a minute. God tells us what four areas that we have way too much information and what we're to do with it in those four areas so that we don't have to live, what's next? I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. Preacher, you don't just care. You're right. Can I tell you why many people are sicker now with the cold that's going around? Because everybody hibernated for a year, year and a half, and their immune systems are low. Those of us that have been out and about for the last year and a half, 2 years, we're not near as sick as everybody else is. I didn't say we didn't get sick. But it's not affecting us as deeply. And by the way, I had that stupid, nasty sinus cold. Others have too, but guess what? We had it before there ever was a coronavirus too. But it's amazing how much sicker people are getting because they've been hibernated and your immune system is lower and lower and lower. Now, let me give you four things here. God says not to be soon shaken in mind. Now look at me. The mind is that which we are supposed to think with. Notice I said supposed to. God does not want people living in fear. God says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. God does not want people living in fear. Satan, evil, and sinful people wanting power want you to live in fear. Any person who has to lead you by making you afraid of them is not leading in a good way. Isn't it amazing? We go from tragedy to tragedy to tragedy to tragedy to emergency to emergency to emergency in our news and in our politics. Why? Because we're trying to keep people dependent on those supplying that information. I won't mention his name, but it's Jennifer's opponent in Jefferson County. If you'd like to know who that is, yeah, you can say it later, all right? But I have to be careful. It's amazing to me. I sent her an article and said, here's where you pull the trigger. Isn't it amazing? For 40 years, he's been a county commissioner or involved in county politics, and just now he's figured out what the problem is. And now he has the solution. He's voted for what the problems are for 40 years. Now he has the solution. Can I tell you why I'm excited about the elections next year? Because we're getting a whole lot of new people in there. And the rats are running. There's a lot of them running. And there's a lot of people that have become successful in business that are coming on the scene. Thank you, Mr. Trump. Yeah, buddy, and some decent people. I just heard that this Dr. Oz critter up in Pennsylvania is running for senator in Pennsylvania. And, buddy, he's nailing Dr. Fauci. Oh, is he hammering. And he's got the medical qualifications to run circles on top of his head. He's doing a tap dance on him. I mean, it's rat-a-tat-tat, it's good. Somebody said, well, are you pro-Second Amendment? He said, I'm for everybody having a gun. I have my concealed permit, and I own guns. I said, I like him. I didn't have to go any farther. Now, wait a minute. God does not want his people living in fear. Can I tell you something, Christian? I said this Thursday night after Jimbo went to heaven. You know, for the Christian, we pass from death to life.
Right.
Not from life to death.
Right.
What we're living here is death. Brother Josh, if your stepson goes to heaven, he's going to life, not to death. Death is just a door you pass through to get to eternal life. But to the lost, it's eternal death. You have to understand something. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord if you're saved.
That's right.
And you pass from death to life. Jimbo just started living. I made him promise me. Wednesday. I said, Brother Jimbo, I know you're probably going to get there before I do. He said, what you need, preacher? I had my hand in his hand like this. And he was, I don't know that Jimbo weighed 85 pounds. Just a skeleton with skin on it. I said, Brother Jimbo, would you give Jesus a hug for me? He said, I'll do it, preacher. I said, I got to ask you one more thing. He said, what's that, preacher? I said, would you tell my mama I love her and give her a hug? He took his other bony old hand and brought it across. Tapped my hand. He said, I can do it, preacher. I can do it. I said, and then I'm going to ask you one more thing. He said, what you need, preacher? I said, when you get there, would you build me a hunting shack? I said, I know I'm getting a mansion, but I want a hunting shack. He said, how many floors do you want? Oh, I love it. He was getting ready to pass from death to life. Not life to death. From death to life. You see, Psalm 118, verse number 6. Turn there, if you will. We're going to look at a couple verses. Psalm 118. Psalm 118, verse number 6. And I think it's verse 6. We have to understand something. Psalm 118, verse number 6 says this. The Lord is on my side. I will not what?
Fear.
What can man do unto me? Can I tell you something? There's very little this old world can do to you except send you on ahead to heaven. That's the worst thing. Hebrews 13:6 says this, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Can I tell you something? You don't have to be worried about what's going to happen. You really don't. We have no fear of what's going to happen. God wants his people to have his mind. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Do you think Jesus went around the world afraid of diseases? Matter of fact, he went around healing people. Encouraging people. He didn't wear a mask. He didn't wear a shield. He didn't wear a bio suit. He touched people that had leprosy. I believe more people are dying because they're keeping family out of the hospitals, not allowing them to talk to and comfort and touch and lift up their loved ones who are sick. I'm watching nurses in here doing this. They know what I'm talking about. Do you know that in the medical industry for hundreds of years, they taught that touch is very important to the healing of the human body? How'd you like to be laying in a hospital and people are gowned up and they got plastic masks and rebreathers on and they look like a Martian? And they're talking and you could barely hear them and you come awake and all of a sudden you're looking at this alien, you know. No wonder people are afraid in the hospitals. No wonder they may not be recovering as quickly. God wants us to use his words to think and live by, not what our fellow man wants us to think and live by. I'm not about to let the news media control what I think. I'm not about to let politicians control what I think. God says we're supposed to protect our minds. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Don't turn there. Write it down if you don't know where it's at. But Philippians 4, 8 says this. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, does the average newscast fit that build? True, honest, just, lovely, of good report, then God says don't think on it. Amen. You see, we're not supposed to think on the godlessness and the tragedy of the day. How about we think on the words of God and truth? Amen. Standing there Wednesday or Thursday night at Jimbo's body right after the angels came and took him to heaven. Loretta leaned over his body and kissed him. She stood up and she looked at me and she said, "Preacher, he's already there. He's doing okay now." I said, "Yes, he is." I said, "We're still going to miss him." She said, "Yeah, but he's going to build my mansion for me." I said, "Yep, and he knows just what you want." He said, "He better, or I'm going to get him." Now, wait a minute. We're supposed to think on good things, not the loss. Please forgive me, and I don't keep track of everybody's conversations. But I don't tell people who have a loved one that goes to heaven, "Sorry for your loss." They didn't lose them. We know where they're at. We didn't lose nothing. We sent them on ahead. I was with Brother Juan yesterday. I was about Brother Juan's age, or Brother Josh's age. I was working for Brother Hiles. He just preached on heaven. And I promise you, you could smell the sweetness of heaven. You could see the glory of the streets. And it was just an amazing sermon. I was with him and I said, "Preacher, how is it that a man your age can preach on heaven and it's so real? And a guy my age can preach on heaven and people say, oh, that's okay." After he punched me in the arm and said, "You call me old?" I said, no. He said, "That's easy, son." He said, "I'm 70, 71 years old." He said, "I know more people there than I know here." He said, "There's more of me there than is here." He said, "It ought to be easier for me." Well, at 54 years old, I'm starting to understand that a whole lot more. Can I tell you something? How about we start thinking about truth and things that don't shake us than things that do? So God says not to be soon shaken in our mind. Number two, God says not to be troubled in spirit. Now hang on, I got to fly through the next 3 points. The word troubled there means this: to frighten, to clamor, or loud, insistent anger. Spirit is that which allows us to commune with God. Hang on. Unsaved people have a dead spirit. But religion salves this for the unsaved. Religion is a salve to a dead spirit. Makes man feel like he did something for God. I put my time in. I paid my money. I went to the service. I lit candles. I drank the Baptist. No, I did whatever I had to do. I showed God how good I am. Now I can go live the way I want to live. We wrap everything up in tradition and ceremony and ritualism and do this, do that. And God says that's not what it's all about. You see, religion confuses people by seemingly being godly but not obeying God and the Bible only. I'm going to make a statement. Don't get mad at me. But don't listen to any religion or any religious person or preacher or music that is not doctrinally correct. It's only going to confuse you. "Well, I like how they say things and they talk about God." Yeah, I got my wife's uncle talks about God too, but not in the same way. Uncle Jacob talks about God a lot, but not usually the same way. I love him. Now, wait a minute. Just because somebody has the letters R-E-V in front of their name doesn't mean they're right biblically. Amen. Just because they have the name Baptist doesn't mean they're right biblically either. Right. If they go contrary to what that book says, I don't give a flip what the church says. What does that book say? Let God be true and every man a liar. Isn't that what God said? So how about we take God at face value? I don't care if it's Chuck Swindler or Joel Holstein or Hocus Pocus on the Family, James Dobson. I don't care who it is. Most of them, and by the way, if they're not using the right Bible, what are we listening to them for anyway? If they're not right on the right scripture, click. You say, "Preacher, will you investigate it?" First thing to find out, what Bible are they using? If they're not using only one, guess what? I don't go any farther. Don't need to, because everything else is corrupt. It's really simple. You say, "Well, I like this person." There's a lot of people I like, but it doesn't mean I'm going to spend time with them. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. God said, don't be troubled. Don't be frightened. Don't clamor. Don't have this loud, insistent anger. Have you noticed the religious crowd gets pretty riled up when you start preaching against their rituals and start preaching on truth? You want to make somebody mad? Take the Bible out, show them what the Bible says, and show it's where contrary to their church and watch them get wound up tight. Mm-hmm. Religion does not make you spiritual. Religion does not make you commune with God. might make you feel better, but feeling has nothing to do with spiritual. Truth does. God says, don't get troubled in your spirit. There's a lot of people going to churches paying money and praying through Mary and praying to a statue and lighting candles and doing stuff. I don't even know what they do. Eating certain kinds of food and not eating certain kinds of food and doing all their rituals. But guess what? It makes them feel better, but they are no closer to God because of it. I'm not being critical. I'm just telling you what God said. By the way, they're the ones all freaked out. They're the ones that haven't had church in 2 years. Number three. God says not to be troubled by word. Notice what it says in 2 Thessalonians. That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word. The word word there is means what we hear. Hang on. This is what fake news is all about. The fake news of the day was Jesus has already been here, going to set up his kingdom, and there's going to be no rapture. That was religious fake news of the day. And God was saying, don't worry about it. That's just somebody trying to play God, putting themselves in my place. Don't listen to them. That's what verse 3 and 4 talk about. The fake news was reporting that Jesus had already come back in the rapture and they were left behind to set up the kingdom. Why do we get our news from social media and liberal news organizations that we know are lying to us? Isn't it amazing how everybody can say, I know the news media is not trustworthy, but did you hear in the news? Am I right? Well, I read. Yeah. Be careful. Why do we follow professionals who do not teach the truth? Educators who teach lies and propaganda instead of truth. As though they are some authority. People like Dr. Fauci. People like CNN. And by the way, about half of Fox News is no better. Politicians, university professors, public school teachers. All love is love. Doesn't matter if Billy and Bob love each other or Susie and Mary love each other. All love is love. Gag. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. God said one man for one woman, not what you identify as. Isn't it amazing? You go out to the farm and you go try to milk some bulls. Let's find out how that turns out. Everybody doing okay? You're going to come back all kicked up, let me tell you. You're going to get the surprise of your life. You say, preacher, I can't believe you said it. Well, look at these idiots running around today. Well, you can't say anything against them or you're judging them. I didn't judge them. They judged themselves. You have no right to tell me I'm judging. I have the right to tell what the truth is. If the truth offends you, so be it. If my attitude offends you, my fault. I don't care what you think of my position. My attitude, I'll fix maybe. My position, it's not changing because it's in line with the never-changing word of God. Like it or lump it, there it is. Let's be careful what we allow ourselves to hear. I'm talking about our music. Why do we let the devil's music influence us? You know, back in the 70s, they used to, Christian people were talking about, rock music has been evil since it came out in the 1950s. You can say, preacher, what? Do you know what the term rock and roll means? Came out in the 50s as a sexual term. So So to say there is such thing as Christian rock and roll is perverted and wrong. Well, we changed the words, but it was the music that caused the rock and roll, not the words. Everybody doing all right? In other words, we ought to be careful what we let into our ears. How about the conversations we participate in? I'm talking about gossip. Don't listen to negative news about somebody. Well, did you hear about? Nope, and I don't want you to tell me. Shut up. I don't need to know. I get accused from time to time, and it happens regularly. Well, you're just trying to cover up somebody's sin. I don't have to cover it up. It's under the blood. I don't give a rip. I'm not covering it up. What good is it for me to tell everybody else what somebody else's sin is? You can't forgive them. Only God can. And if God forgave them, why do you want to dig it back up? God said it's removed as far as the east is from west. It's been buried in the deep depths of the sea. Why do you want to bring it up and show everybody? I'm talking about negative truth. By the way, that's why I don't do heavy counseling before I preach. Because I have to come preach truth to you, and I don't need bogged down by somebody's problem. I'm here to help you with your problems, but talk to me after church, not before church. Talk to me during the week. But I'm not going to counsel somebody's marriage and somebody's about to come unscrewed on each other right before I come out here and preach, because y'all couldn't handle me then. I'll be all wound up. By the way, the word troubled means loud, insistent anger. Now listen to this next statement. I don't listen to angry, ranting mobsters or protesters. They only want attention. Why do you read what they say? I couldn't tell you what all these people burning cities down are saying, because I don't read it, because I don't want to be a part of it. God said not to let those words, what we hear, enter our minds. I can judge their action and say they need to go to jail for robbing people and for smashing stores and taking what they want and burning buildings down. They ought to go to jail for it. I don't care what governments say. I don't waste my mind on what rioters have to say. I don't waste my mind on what protesters say. Everybody doing okay? I must hurry. God says we're not to be troubled in letter, lastly. Letter is what we read. Oh, here it comes. Just because it's printed in a newspaper or it's put on a screen doesn't mean it's truth. And I'm talking about Facebook and Twitter. Isn't it amazing how brave people are behind a screen? Now, don't get mad at me, but I think it's funny when somebody says, well, I got into an argument with somebody on Facebook this week. I let them have it. I want to go out and vomit and then laugh because of what they did. They really didn't hear what they just said. Somebody will say, preacher, did you see on Facebook? Nope. I had my face in the book. I didn't read Facebook. If we would put our face in God's book as much time as you put into Facebook, you'd be amazed at how much better and how less traumatized your life would be. I realize some of you have to have it for different things, and I'm not saying that if you're on Facebook that you're a filthy, rotten, wicked, no good scum of your sinner and going to die and go to hell. But I promise you this, you have to fight the emotions that go with it. Just because it's printed somewhere doesn't make it true. Well, I read somebody's book. So? Did you know there's a Satanist Bible too? Do you believe that one? Just because someone has a college degree doesn't mean they're an authority on truth. I know a lot of idiots that have college degrees. I wasn't talking about you, Aaron. You stepped in that one, brother. Now, wait a minute. Just because somebody has an education does not make them an authority. Someone once said, well, practice makes perfect. No, only perfect practice makes one perfect. You can be educated and educated wrongly. Be careful. Hiding behind a screen or a computer doesn't make you an authority. Just because someone says that they have a degree in divinity and religious education doesn't mean they know that book. If they don't even use the right one, they disqualified themselves. I don't care how many letters you put after their name. There are people that have more degrees than they have temperature. Well, what accreditation did you have, preacher? It's called the King James Bible. Well, were you accredited with the North Central or the East Central? No, I was accredited from due north. Straight up. How about we read the right Bible and only listen to those that preach from the right Bible? How about we read the real truth and not somebody's opinion about truth? How about we not read negative? Can I tell you something? Quit reading all the comments. I think one of the things that hurts our country most is, well, I read all the reviews. Somebody showed me one of those things about twice, and I said, this is the stupidest thing in the world to read all this. Opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one, and you pick which one you want. Because all I'm doing is reading everybody's opinion. If we're not careful, we're going to get everybody's reviews. Do you check out the reviews on your website about your church, preacher? I don't even know that there are any, but if there are, I've never looked at them. Do you look at the comments? No, I read enough of my emails to throw them away and know what the comments are. I got to stop. Let me quote one verse to you. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 19 says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. Right. We have overloaded our world with words and information to the point where we sin more and more. There is such a multitude of words that sin has become natural. God wants us to fill our minds with good truth. We don't need to share all the negatives of life. I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking. That's stupid. I'm not talking about that at all, but I am saying we need to protect our minds by what we read, by what we hear, and by what we think about, so that we're not soon shaken all the time. That means religiously, that means news-wise, that means even in amongst our own families, not listening to all the negative that you're going to hear at the Christmas table. Do you hear about Aunt so-and-so? Do you hear about Uncle so-and-so? And I don't want to hear. If you had family like I have family, there's some things that just should not be said. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Maybe we ought to, let's talk about Jesus. You want to shut everybody up at Christmas? Start talking about the Lord. That'll change a conversation in a hurry. Yeah, buddy. You'll be eating a lot more food because everybody's going to leave. More mashed taters and gravy and ham and here we go. I get more dessert. You say, preacher, you just make it sound so easy. Why is it that you say, preacher, don't you have any problems in life? I have as many problems as everybody else has. And maybe because I help so many people with their problems more. But I don't think about them all the time. I deal with it while it's time to deal with it. And past that, I don't sit there and think about it. When I'm sitting in my hunting stand, I'm not thinking about your trouble. I'm looking for a deer to slaughter. I'm enjoying God. I'm thinking about the Lord and sermons and truth and enjoying the things of God. I'm not sitting there thinking about everybody's problem. When it's time to think about a problem, it's time to think about a problem. But when I'm done, I'm done. Oh, how about we just get excited about being saved? How about we obey God in truth and obey him with our baptism, our church membership, and we start reading the word and we start getting involved in that, and I'll promise you, you won't be as shook up as the world. You won't be like Elvis Presley, I'm all shook up. And that was before my time. But I did have aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas, amen? Can I tell you something? God said, don't be soon shaken. Don't let the news be the first thing you read in the morning. How about the Word of God? How about you read the Word of God and pray to God and then decide you're going to just kind of skim the headlines of the news? Been over 2 years since I've actually heard a news program on television. Say why? I'm not going to listen to it. Most of you go to bed depressed because you watch the news. You get up and turn the news on and you're depressed all day long. You'll wonder why? Maybe because you're soon shaken because of the information you allow to come to you. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Lord is my helper. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm not going to live with a shaken mind. I'm going to live that Philippians 4:8, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, lovely, of good report, if there be virtue, if there be praise, think on those things. How about we control that which comes into our minds? Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Did you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores and scores of hands. You may put them down. You can't keep all negative away, but we sure can limit it. We don't have to live in information overload.